Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome back to the Work Like a Laker podcast. I'm Carlos Martinez, and with me we have
Megan Rickson.
Today we've got another great episode for you, and it's a topic that's near and dear to my heart because I think it's so important, and it's dealing with anxiety surrounding the graduation and that next step process for a lot of you. We know that it's March. Many of you are already thinking forward to graduation, what that first job might look like, or graduate school, and you're all in different phases, of that process. And we've brought in Brian Bosick from the Counseling Center to chat a bit more about this topic.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, good. So, you know your background better than we do, and so we're just going to start it off. Can you just tell us a little bit about your background, your training, and what you do at Grand Valley?
Yeah, you bet. I'll start with kind of what I do. I've been at Grand Valley about 11 years, and I work in the Counseling Center and the Career Center. So my main role is really career development and helping folks figure out who they are and how do they match that to what they want to do. So I have a bachelor's in psychology and then my doctorate's in counseling psychology. So most of my job, like 70-75%, is in the career development piece. And then about 25-30% is kind of in the mental health piece. And very often it's kind of that intersection and looking at how they come together.
Totally, which is why you're a perfect guest for our graduation anxiety topic, because so much of it is around career.
Yeah.
But we all know that there are a lot of other factors that go into anxiety around changes and things like that.
Absolutely. So, no, I'm glad to be here. It should be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, when we were sitting down trying to think about what a good topic would be, it's March. Graduation season is right around the corner. Career fair just passed, and so there's so many burning questions inside of students. And while we know that we get some of those concerns, you as somebody who works as a counselor at the university, I'm sure you see a lot more of it. And we thought you might be a better prepared voice of reason and advice for students. So just to kind of start off the conversation, what are some of the typical emotions you see in students as they're getting ready to graduate, or mm-hmm. or thoughts, general concerns?
Yeah. Good question. I was thinking about this, and it's funny. I thought before you get into the anxiety piece, like, we'll talk about like some of the other pieces too, because yeah. I think folks are excited for like a variety of reasons. So it's your last final, and you have that thought of, unless you're going to grad school or other school, you don't have any more tests. So there's like pure excitement around that. There's also kind of like a sense of relief that maybe financially I'm going to be rolling in money or something like that. So I'm not a student anymore. So that's really kind of cool. And then some people too love the idea of an adventure and a challenge. Mm-hmm. I think for some folks it's really scary. And then others find the unknown is something like, great, I'll get in my car and we'll figure out what we're doing and we're going to go there.
Would you say it's possible to be feeling both of those emotions?
Oh my goodness, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think everybody, that's such a good point. On their can hold both, right? And depending on what's going on, one side is bigger than the other. Mm-hmm. So yes, you can definitely hold the excitement and the anxiety. Mm-hmm. The other thing I think, yeah, is anxiety, and it's just questions about what's next, mm-hmm. right? And what are you going to do with that? And are my friends changing? What am I going to be doing? What's my schedule going to be like? Can I still sleep in? I have a set dinner plan that's now gone.
Yeah.
And then I think there's just a sense of loss too. It's like some mm-hmm. folks feel a little bit of that loss mm-hmm. because if you've been here 4, 5, 6, 7 years, whatnot, you've created kind of a tradition for yourself and you've created a routine. And without that, it can be a little tough.
Yep.
Yeah. And whenever I start thinking about that, it's a quote that I heard comes to mind. I don't know who said it.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's the exact quote, but it's something around the idea that when you're experiencing some sort of discomfort, that usually means you're growing in a part of your life.
Yes.
Right? And,
yeah.
And so what I like to tell students when they're telling me they're nervous, unsure, is that this is actually a natural feeling when you're progressing and getting closer to your goals also.
It is.
I know personally it was a really scary time for me when I was getting ready to graduate. Many of my friends had jobs or they were already interviewing. I had nothing. I didn't have my first interview until about 3 or 4 weeks after graduating with my bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
And so we all have a different timeline as well.
I think that's a great point. Actually, that quote, I don't know where it comes from, but I was talking to a therapist the other day who was talking about exactly that. They're
that's
like,
great.
they were saying something that like, well, this is really uncomfortable. And they stopped and they looked at the person. They said, but that's where the work gets done.
Yeah.
And the therapist is excited. The student's not, because it stinks, right? Because it's really hard.
Yeah, fun, right.
But that is totally where the work gets done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any general thoughts or advice you would share with students if they, let's say somebody approaches you and says, they were in my position.
Yeah.
Brian, I'm completely lost right now. I'm not sure where to go. My lease is running out. I don't have a job, right? And sometimes it could lead into a one-minute conversation listing off all the challenges that they're facing, because it almost feels like it's always just piling up on you at once.
Yeah.
How do you start that? How do you respond to those sort of comments?
That's a good question. I think in that kind of situation, one of the biggest things that we can try not to do is think that there is a gold standard of where you should be, right? And that idea that this is going to be progressing.
Yes.
Along a really specific mm-hmm. line, and if you're not on that line, then you have screwed the whole thing up.
Right, right.
So I think that's one thing, and then just to unpack it a little bit, right? About mm-hmm. So what are some of the challenges? Where do we want to kind of be going? What are some of the solutions? And then giving yourself flexibility that your process might be a little bit slower for whatever reason, right? Maybe you started really early and it just things hadn't worked out, or maybe you're just getting started. So, like, how do you kind of get yourself, how do you set up the most important things? So you got a place to live, you got, you know, you've got some support for food and money, and then how do you start branching out to do the other stuff?
Mm-hmm. Right, and something I think that could be helpful, if you are someone out there who doesn't have a job lined up right when you walk across the stage, I think it's okay to give yourself the freedom to say, I'm going to find a job right now
mm-hmm.
where I can pay the bills.
Yeah.
Because that's going to relieve a little bit of that stress of, you know, knowing where a paycheck is coming from. And then I can use time outside of that job to be conducting kind of that full on job search at that point. So do you think that strategy is kind of would work to think I'm going to take care of this more immediate need first because it's ultimately going to help me with some of these bigger things?
No, definitely.
Yeah.
No, because I think, too, like one of the biggest things that people struggle with is when there is a lack of structure, it's just really hard mm-hmm. to kind of get rolling. And mm-hmm. so if you have a job and you have a sense of structure, then you have like that defined sleep schedule, other kind of things. So yes. That helps get stuff done. I've talked to lots of students who really struggle to get into a groove with this kind of stuff
mm-hmm.
until they had something in place.
Yep.
And that could be a job, that could be a place to stay, that could be even like a service thing that they were doing for 3 months. Because at least they had to get up, they had to get stuff done. So totally agree.
Yeah, and there, you think, oh, but I won't have as much time to be working toward whatever that the like end goal is, a job or applying to grad school or whatever it is. But yeah, it helps to have that structure and routine. Or you could, you know, be waking up in the morning and thinking you're going to put 3 hours into it and time just passes.
It just passes, yeah. Right? And we were talking off air about like OCD and obsessing,
right?
But sometimes if you have too much time, all you do is obsess over the details and you really don't focus. Or you find out that there's too much to think about and you just freeze. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's a great suggestion. Mm-hmm. It can definitely work.
You know, it's funny you said that about too much time. I think my best semester in college was when I was working about 30 hours a week mm-hmm. as a senior.
Yes.
And it's because it forced me to structure my study time in a much more intentional way that I didn't have to do prior to that.
Exactly. You know, when we think about like getting ready for all this stuff, you know, one of the most helpful things is for students to think about like the job search, the grad school search, the professional school search as almost like a 3-credit class. Right, that you've and that you continue to do what you're normally doing, but you've got these additional kind of responsibilities. So, yeah, you keep yourself busy and you kind of look at there's responsibilities and obligations toward this that will kind of keep you moving forward. So I totally agree.
Yeah. And as students start coming in, and again, we say students, but really this is for anyone who's listening, right?
Yeah.
It could be alumni. It could be just a friend who likes Grand Valley and checks us out. When you encounter some of these potential roadblocks in your search, it's also a good time to reflect and assess where you're at, right? So maybe you got rejected for an interview. Can we take a second look at that resume? Is that an area we can improve?
Mm-hmm.
If you did get an interview, was there something that you can change or improve about your interviewing skills? And so throughout the entire process, you can continue reflecting and just growing as a professional.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's like it is a perfect time to kind of look at where you are on, and it's really a cycle, mm-hmm. right? So you're going to go forward one direction, and then maybe you kind of need to go back just a little bit to kind of polish up something else, and you can go back forward. So mm-hmm. you're always assessing.
Mm-hmm. And if there is a student right now who yeah. who maybe says, this is a lot for me, I just want to talk to somebody, what does the process look like to get connected with the counseling center or to get connected with you directly if it's a career-specific sort of thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think there are probably two steps you could take. So you can call the career center and say, hey, you know, I am struggling a little bit with, like, this transition for graduation. I'm really anxious, and I just don't know what option to do. I don't have a plan in place. And they'll kind of work with either myself or, say, like Nick, who often kind of deals with folks as they're doing this kind of career transition stuff.
Yep.
You call the counseling center and say, I've got, you know, I'm feeling really anxious and I want to talk to somebody who deals with, like, transition anxiety about graduating. And I think we could definitely get them connected. You know, and as we talked about or alluded to a little bit earlier, it's a combination of, like, anxiety just in general, but also some really concrete steps that you can do to kind of work with that. So we want to kind of help you form a plan, figure out where you are, where do you want to get to, but also then, like, think about, like, how do you put supports in place right now to kind of help you through that?
Mm-hmm. And hopefully that's where this kind of March timeline of this podcast coming out.
Yes.
Like, sure, we're getting close, but there still is time to come in and see someone
yeah.
to take some steps then on that plan of making that happen. When you're working with students, do you find when you're kind of creating these plans of what's to come next? I guess from my perspective in the Career Center, typically those plans are all career related.
Yeah.
Go and talk to this person, go and research this company, those sorts of steps. What are kind of the personal care, the self-care, those other steps that might be a part of kind of to go alongside that, like, really action-oriented career yeah. plan?
Good point. I think one of the big things is looking at, a couple things. Looking at your support system.
Mm-hmm.
So who is it that you feel comfortable talking about mm-hmm. with this? You know,
yeah.
if you think about our friends, we often have friends that are like, for this situation, I can talk to this person, for
yes.
this one, for this. Who else might be graduating who's not going to be competitive and try to put,
make
this worse?
Oh,
right?
I
so, like who is the person that I can commiserate with, is going to support
yes.
me? You know, and maybe that's a family member who's, like,
yes.
all in, or maybe they're not, because all they do is ask you about,
mm-hmm.
like, why did you not get a job? Do you have a job?
Right.
Do you have a job?
Yeah. When I was graduating, all of my roommates already had jobs. So they were
yes.
not the right people to talk to, because they
so
made
true.
Me feel so much worse.
Yes.
Because I didn't. I wasn't at that point.
Yeah. So I think that's
mm-hmm.
a big part of it. Like, you want to look
yeah.
at who your support system is.
Mm-hmm.
You do want to keep some structure
mm-hmm.
just because, like, that's going to keep you from kind of getting too stuck down. So doing the things that help you, thinking about that structure. If this is going to carry over, so, you know, it's March now, but if you're thinking, maybe it's going to be May, thinking ahead a little bit, like, that might be the shift of a conversation I work with somebody on. So, like, okay, so you're going to graduate, you're going to walk, you're still engaged in this, but
mm-hmm.
wherever you're going to be next month, how do we build this there too?
Mm-hmm.
Or how do we build, like, okay, this is the coffee shop I go to do my research, and
yeah.
I go to Barnes & Noble and do this, and this
yep.
is where I go work out. Like, how do you take what's been effective here and port it to wherever you are to kind of keep the momentum
sure.
going?
And really, in, like you said, in real tangible ways, like
yes.
planning out where you're going to sit to
oh,
be
yeah.
doing these things. I like that.
Yeah, because, you know, it could be your bedroom, but maybe it's your bedroom
sure.
back home, and suddenly that brings back all kind of
then
stuff, and you're like, I'm not employed, so let's
right.
not do that.
I don't want to feel like I'm 15
right now. Exactly.
I need to feel like I'm older and out there on my own, yeah.
Staring at my, like, New Kids on the Block poster on the wall,
yeah.
right? So,
oh my gosh, right.
Yes.
Or whatever the equivalent would be of, like,
I know.
Somebody, you know, grown up in the 90s, I guess.
That's right.
Yeah,
right now, that's probably yeah. a little dated.
Ariana Grande,
nice.
Yeah,
yes,
thanks,
exactly,
Carlos.
Exactly.
We need the help.
Exactly. So, no, I think those kind of things right now, when you think about that, there's the career part of it, but there's also the personal one. It's
mm-hmm.
looking at all those different factors.
Awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, while on the topic of scheduling and planning for the future, do you have any thoughts on or recommendation
sure.
on how students can balance the current realities that today they still have classes, they still have homework and projects due, but they are thinking ahead towards
yeah.
May, June, July, when they're hopefully going to be working or in the process of acquiring that first job?
It's hard. I think it's really hard. And I was thinking about this the other day, because from the beginning, we're grade driven, right? And so everything's about grades, tests, right. projects. And it probably isn't until junior year, sometimes, if they're thinking about, well, I'm going to be doing this internship and it's going to be more for than a grade, right? It's for these skills. Mm-hmm. So I think part of it is always challenging a little bit of your mentality about, why am I doing this? You know, I'm going to go and, let's say I'm going to do informational interviews with these three people, or go visit uh-huh. this company,
yep.
or I'm going to do a careers in series and mm-hmm. I'm going to go see what's up there. I don't get a grade for that, but I'm making progress on the next steps. Mm-hmm. So I think part of it's a mindset, yep. that these things are so important, because it isn't just about the grades anymore. I mean, truth be known, if depending on what your major is, or what, if you're looking at grad school, you know, as long as you graduate with a decent GPA, the idea being that, you know, are folks going to go back and look at your last semester unless you failed everything? I don't know that they will. Mm-hmm. But are they going to look at, like, all the skills you developed and internships you've had and things like that? That they will.
Right.
So I think at this point, the focus just has to shift, where you're starting to think about, the grades are important, the classwork is important, mm-hmm. but how do I make sure I'm carving out time?
Right.
I think, as I mentioned before, like, this is a 3-credit class, and it's like the life experience class, and it's the mm-hmm. job search class. So how am I really doing that? And that's really such a key thing.
That's a good way to think about structuring it, too.
Yeah.
Right? Because you would sit in class for 3 hours-ish
yeah.
with a 3-hour class or yeah. 3-credit class every week. Plus, you're supposed to do, I mean, what, like double?
Yep, like 6 to 9 hours of homework.
6 to 9 hours of homework. That's, so, wow.
Right.
And talking 9 to 12 hours a week, potentially.
Of working on your career.
Yeah. And that doesn't right. need, I mean, I feel like we talk about this in every podcast, but that doesn't have to be just sitting behind your computer.
Right.
And, you know, looking at things online. But as you just mentioned, it can be getting out there and talking to people, doing yeah. those informational interviews yeah. where you're chatting with someone who's doing something that you would love to do.
Well, yeah.
Things like that. I find that that helped me in my job search, when I could take it from just application after application to, okay, I need to actually go and talk to someone about this. You feel like you make a lot more progress.
That
so probably
so
very
well
similar
said.
To when you're talking to kind of that personal network of yours, thinking mm-hmm. about expanding to a little bit more of the professional network or alumni yeah. network can be useful. And you just, yeah, I feel like it helps you feel like you're moving forward.
Oh, when if you think about, like, if you've been, you know, let's say it's your senior year, you form some friendships. So maybe your friend's mm-hmm. parents are doing something in that mm-hmm. field, or they know somebody, or mm-hmm. you're part of a student organization, or it's like an academic organization. Mm-hmm. And so they've brought in speakers. You've gotten to know them well. Maybe you have a position in that organization. So now you start going to these things with a different focus, mm-hmm. right? And you're going to talk to people. And I remember as I was applying to grad school, it got to the point where that I was shocked, because I was so focused on grades and having a template and all this mm-hmm. stuff. And suddenly you're like prepping for the GRE, you're preparing for these other interviews, and like you really had to change your focus. And mm-hmm. by the time I got to the second semester of my senior year, there was still a lot of stuff that had to be done. And I'm like, wait a minute, I got this thing for class. Okay, I'm going to focus on that, but I need to, my whole weekend needs to be focused on a cover letter mm-hmm. and other things. So it's really different, mm-hmm. but it's important.
Absolutely. What about for the students who might already have something secured?
Yeah.
So they've gotten into the grad school of their choice. They
yeah.
have a job lined up, going to be starting. There probably still can be some uneasiness and
oh,
anxiety
yeah.
just around this transition. Can you talk a little bit about just transition anxiety, what that is, what that looks like for anyone at any stage, even if you kind of do feel like you're plan is in place already?
Absolutely. And I think that's a really good point, because, and you think about it, like, folks will be like, well, I wish I was in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, their shoes also bring like some
yeah.
challenges, right? I think one of the things you can start to think about is, then you go to the next big questions. So where am I going to live? How am I going to afford that? One of my favorite resources is having folks go to financial aid. And let's say you have a job lined up, you have a job offer. How do you start like looking at like, okay, so I'm thinking about making this. When I graduated, I always wanted to buy this. Like, wow, maybe I can't do that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So to really like start to like think about, where do I budget? Where can I live?
Mm-hmm.
What are the supports there?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of life do I want to set up? So I think you can really start doing
yeah.
all of that.
Cool.
And it might give you a little more free time, too, to think about, how do you want to end your time here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think when you're not in crisis, you can be a little bit more like proactive.
Yeah.
So like, what are the last things I want to do at Grand Valley?
Yep.
You know, did I kind of squeeze everything out of it? Or is there something more I want to do? Is there a mark I want to make? Like, you
yeah.
might have that time, too.
Right. Very cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah. You know, and on the topic of those who do get that job, or, you know, gain entrance into the graduate school, they still might feel inadequate.
Oh, yeah.
I know that for me, when I started my my first quote unquote real job after college. It was working in the admissions office at Grand Valley. Oh, yeah. And I remember looking at my arms and I was like, what is this? I have a dress shirt on. I have slacks. I have dress shoes. And it for a moment felt like an out of body experience. Like, this isn't me. I don't belong here. A sense of imposter syndrome.
That's exactly
right. And I think that's something a lot of young professionals feel, that they're not really prepared, and all these years that, you know, they've been going to school wasn't enough. And while, yes, there's a lot of work that you still have to do in many fields to grow into it a bit, I think some of that might just be our mind playing tricks on us as well.
Yeah.
Have you encountered that at all with folks that you work with in the past?
Yeah, starting with myself, right? So nice. I think, you know, we talk about, you know, student professional. That's always one of the terms. Yep. And I think most, I think until you're in it, you don't know what that means, right? And I think you have to give yourself space to understand that maybe you won't right away. And then I think it's really okay to feel like that imposter syndrome, because you're going to the first day in a dress shirt and a tie. Like, I used to just wear this like when I was like 13, going to these special events, you know, with my family. Suddenly people are looking at you for answers. So I think that is such a realistic thing. I do think a big part of that is giving yourself some space to feel that it's real, but also realizing that you're going to have a learning curve in your job. And that's okay, that you've got like the basic skills to go in, that you've brought everything that they want to kind of help you learn about the job. But there might be moments you feel a little bit lost or you're not sure what to do. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you're the professional seeking help versus like the student. And I think the other part is switching your mindset from you're going there just to learn and maybe get a good grade to I'm going here to contribute. Mm-hmm. And that takes time. And you're probably going to like realize, I don't speak up as much as this person, or I'm just learning to find myself, or I spoke up when I shouldn't have. And mm-hmm. that's okay.
Right.
Right. You're learning. And I think most people, most companies realize that we're training somebody and you're coming on board. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really normal to feel like that. And I think it's really okay too. And giving yourself some time to understand that. Last random thought attached to that. You know, I think that's too. If you're talking to other folks in similar situations, it's a good thing. And again, this is the right kind of friend. You probably don't want to talk to the person who won't show any vulnerability.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm killing it. I'm like, oh, good for you.
Okay.
But that person that's going to probably share the exact same things. Mm-hmm. Like, I have no idea what they told me today. And I had to talk to some client and act like I knew what I was doing. Yeah. And it's a good thing they didn't see my legs shaking.
Right.
You know, so I think that's helpful too.
Because mm-hmm. fake it till you make it
oh.
can work, right?
It's got to, right?
It has to. Yeah, it has to. In so many cases. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think as much as we want to be prepared, mm-hmm. we never fully are. Mm-hmm. I used to, as part of one of the assistantships in graduate school, we had to teach. So I taught Psych 101, and I would literally like script out all of my lectures with jokes included like examples and everything at night to like control anxiety.
Yeah.
And it would never go the way I thought. Right. There'd always be questions or things. So like you almost have to go in there like you're just ready to do it.
Yep.
And prepare as best you can.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as you transition from one structure, right? So the university higher education world to the again, the quote unquote real world where you're working and you figure things out.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be that time of transitions where you allow this new schedule or routine to build itself and become what it is.
Yeah.
Without maybe having to force it too much.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, exactly.
What I've noticed with some students who come back after, you know, recently graduating is that they tell me they're actually really bored. I've heard this multiple times. All I do is go to work, you know, go home, watch Netflix, TV, and go to sleep and do it again.
Yeah.
And I remember for me, I did that for about 2.5 years after graduating.
Yeah.
And I felt that was most of what I would be doing. And I had a job that I enjoyed, but everything else around it started feeling kind of dull and very repetitive. And so for me, it took finding new things that I can do, you know, working out, mm-hmm. making a more of a point at this. I got married young, so I would make it more of a point, my wife and I, to maybe go out a little more every once in a while.
Exactly.
So little things like that can be very helpful as you're building out what this new schedule or routine will be for you.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. When you think about like coming to college, you've got so many opportunities right around you, like even food, right? Everything's pre-made and you've got 400 organizations. So I think you're forced to kind of think about like, what do I want life to be like?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's after a couple months where you're like, all right, I'm in a routine. I got it. I'm a little bored. like, what do I like to do? What's in the area? What can I do? So I think it's a great point that you almost have to work at it more than you ever thought you would.
You do.
Because it doesn't just fall on your lap the way it might have here, where everybody's in the same boat.
And everybody's involved in different things. And you're seeing people and all the cool things they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember my first apartment I got. And this was, I lived on campus for 4 years straight. I got in there, we got set up, family left, blah, blah, blah. It was just me, and I closed the door. I'm like, but in the dorms, we all left the door open. Can I leave the door open here? I was like, no, man, you can't do that.
Probably shouldn't, right?
But it was a realization that, like, okay, so things are kind of up to me now. If I want to figure out what I want to do, I got to find it.
Yeah, for sure.
And the cool thing is that's also another opportunity for growth and development in maybe new areas. So it could be a hobby that you always said you never had time to do in college, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you'll go start drawing again or taking pictures of something. So you could still find meaning in a lot of different things and still continue to grow. So again, it's just another level of life.
It is. No, and I like that because I think it's that idea that and don't be afraid that if the first thing doesn't take. Right? You go to like a drawing class, like, I think I'm done with this. Yeah. But then you stumble into ceramics and you're like, I can actually do this. So I totally agree with that.
So again, you know, another question that we had as we kind of chatted about what to speak with you about is ways that they can feel in control as they're transitioning out.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's like you're always just waiting. You're waiting for the job to accept you, to grant you an interview, for the apartment complex to accept your, you know, you as a new tenant. Are there things that students or people in general can do to find a sense of control throughout all of this?
Yeah, good question. I think part of that too is like you put as many of those to-dos out there as you can, right? And you want to check them off as you do them. So even if you don't get the response right away, you've done it. So you've put this out there, you've done these many applications, you've submitted your application for the apartment. That's a goal. But I think the other part is that you're still involved in life right here. And so focusing on that, right? Focusing on, all right, so I still got class, or I still have my friends here. And like you could sit obsessively in front of your computer refreshing like your email, you know, but that will just drive you crazy. So how do you then like focus on life and things and while you're making kind of small steps? We talk about SMART goals a lot, and they're kind of the ones that are measurable, right? Like, so how do you break down a big task like finding a job into those kind of small things that are measurable and achievable? And if you're checking off that list, then you have some of that control. So like, I've done all of this, all these things are out there. I've waited. Do I want to go back to the beginning and do some more searching? I can do that and then kind of do that. And so basically, I can't think of the good metaphor right now, but you're putting a bunch of this stuff out there waiting waiting for it to stick, and something is going to stick. Uh-huh. And the more active in those small ways you are, it will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, overall, using resources will be another key aspect of this phase of your transitions. Earlier you mentioned that they can call the career center. We know they can contact the counseling center if they want to speak to anyone. But what about when you've graduated? When you've graduated, let's say you still are feeling anxiety, mental health and depression is becoming a much more accepted topic. So you're probably seeing it more in the news every day.
Mm-hmm.
I know I do when I check in. What are some ways they could get connected? Let's say if you're in the Grand Rapids area and you do think you need to speak with a counselor, are there any resources you'd recommend?
Yeah, I would say probably a couple. So you could. So our counseling center, we only kind of work with current students, but we have a huge resource of people in the area. And so they could always call us and say, you know, I graduated. This is where I live. Who do you recommend? On our website, we have a provider kind of finder that people can use. And it's all based in city and it links to all the websites. They're all providers we've met with and it describes their practices. So folks can always go to like the counseling center's website, gvsu.edu/counsel, and look under resources and they could search for people in the area. Also, if it's somebody we've worked with in the past, they can call us and we'll be glad to work with them and help them get connected too, because we might know them even better. The other two things I was thinking about, depending where you're employed, most places you work, like in their HR place, are going to have some type of employee assistance program. So checking in with that to kind of see like, hey, if I'm looking for counseling, who are you all affiliated with and who do you connect people with?
Yeah. Good advice.
Yeah. And then I'd say Psychology Today. If you go to their website, they have find a psychologist. It's a great resource, actually.
Wow.
Did not know about that. Yes. So outside of like this area in Michigan, that's where I refer all my students to. So if you're moving to the east side, you could put in your zip code. You can put in the type of provider you want, the type of degree, how many years in service.
Wow.
And it's an awesome resource. So I think those would be really good places to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, my wife works for the Mental Health Foundation of West Michigan. And so she'd kill me if I didn't plug them. But the thing is, with all these transitions, there's also a big stigma, right?
Yeah.
When you see my shirt on the picture, I have a little Be Nice shirt. It's all about breaking the stigma about mental health. And I know it looks a little different in a bunch of different communities. In Latin America, a lot of times I heard it multiple times in my family. Oh, why are you going to a psychologist? You're not crazy.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's okay if you don't want to share with anyone that you're going.
Yeah.
Right. But little by little, I think it is important for everyone to become aware that if you do think you need to speak to someone, even if it's just a check in one time and you never go back again, it could be of a huge benefit for you or for a friend of yours if you get them connected.
Absolutely. Hey, even if you find that at some point in this you just feel stuck and you don't know why, that's a good reason. Go talk to somebody. Get unstuck. Mm-hmm. However you define stuck. If it's anxiety, if you're tired, if you're fatigued, or you're just feeling cranky, mm-hmm. like go talk to someone and just get unstuck.
Love that.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have anything else to add, Megan?
I guess one other note I'd written down that I wanted to make sure we mentioned today. Is especially for those of you out there who don't have something yet. I think
Absolutely.
That's when the anxiety is probably the most heightened, when you're really uncertain of even what that very first day after you step out of Grand Valley
Absolutely.
Looks like, is to not put too much pressure on finding your dream job
mm-hmm.
or that very perfect next step, but just to think, what is my first destination? That's some language we're using a lot now in the Career Center.
I like that.
So that you maybe takes a little bit of that pressure off to say, all right, I'm going to have a first destination and then I can go from there. I can incorporate my hobbies and passions there. I can do all these other things to have a fulfilling life and career. But right now I'm going to focus just kind of on that first piece without worrying about, you know, the dream job. So that was just one random thought I had.
I really like that because I think in a lot of ways, isn't that the goal for every kind of student, right? So whether it's your dream job or it's a first destination, chances are you're going to learn from it and figure out what do you want to do next, whether it's stay there, whether it's look at something else. So I think that's excellent. Yeah, and the focus of your career, that first destination job may allow you to try out some skills, try some things, but also then build your personal life up, yep. right? So I think everything's going to have a different focus and you can kind of look at it that way too.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Brian. Everyone, thank you for listening. We're in the description of this episode. We're going to post a lot of the links that Brian was mentioning, the Psychology Today, Mental Health Foundation, Counseling Center at Grand Valley. For those of you who want it, it's March, so we will be back for one more episode in about 4 weeks. Take care and see you all soon.